آشورا، History's most heart-rending tragedy. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam and heartfelt condolences to everybody on the anniversary of history's most heart-rending tragedy, which although it occurred exactly 1,383 lunar years ago, its discourse continues to bring torrents of tears to the hearts of conscientious. Today is Ashura, or the 10th of Muharram, on which Imam Hussein, peace upon him, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, drank the elixir of martyrdom in an unequal battle with the bloodthirsty Umayyad hordes, demanding allegiance to the godless rule of the tyrant Yazid. Please stay with us for a special feature in this regard. The day of Ashura dawned upon the soil of Karbala. It was the day when jihad would be in full bloom. Blood would be shed. 72 innocent lives would be sacrificed. And a decisive battle would be won to save Islam and the Ummah. It had been a few days since the water supply was cut off by the enemy to the encampment of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. Children were crying for water, and the women were desperate for water. The suffering from the thirst was too painful to bear. And despite this, not a single person in the camp made any complaints or even questioned the mission of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. Each person supported the Imam wholeheartedly and enthusiastically. In the early morning, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, went out of the encampment and saw the Umayyad commander Umar ibn Sa'd mobilizing his troops to start the hostility. The Imam was the least odd of the large army and ruled out the idea of the surrendering to the enemy. He lifted his hands in prayer to God Almighty. O Allah, it is you in whom I have trust despite all grief. You are my hope amid all violence. You are my refuge and provision in everything that happens to me. Before the actual battle was to take place, Hur, one of the commanders of the enemy force, felt his conscience violently stirring. He was in turmoil. Upon realizing the gravity of the situation, he suddenly broke away from the Umayyad camp, along with several others. They rushed toward Imam Hussein, peace upon him, to join him. Hur's heart was jumping with joy, his mind relieved of an agonizing tension. Hur's defection worried Ibn Sa'd very much, lest others do the same and defect. So he immediately unleashed an arrow towards the imam's camp to indicate the start of the battle. This was the outset of a catastrophe and a tragic event. The imam's loyal followers insisted on being the first to fight. Therefore, they took the brunt of the enemy attack. The battle was ferocious. Within a short time, the imam's supporters slew a large number of the enemy fighters in self-defense. They were on the offensive and the enemy on the defensive. This caused apprehension and confusion in the enemy forces. So worried and nervous, the enemy commander-in-chief ordered reinforcements. The heroes began to fall. They were men of valor welcoming martyrdom, and they fell one after another, for the enemy was overwhelming in number. By noon time, the imam stopped the fight to perform the ritual prayer. By this time, those left were mainly his family and a few supporters. They performed the congregational prayer, with two of the imam's companions standing in front as shields. As the prayer was over, one of them fell dead. There were 17 arrows in his body. Ali Akbar, the eldest son of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, took his father's permission to fight and dashed toward the enemy. He engaged them in fierce fighting, falling on them like thunder, slaying numerous enemies. He continued to move forward, deep inside the enemy ranks. The enemy was overpowering in number. It overwhelmed him and targeted him with a spear that pierced his chest. As blood gushed from his wounds and martyrdom neared, the imam rushed towards his mortally wounded son. The moment he removed the spear point from the body of the handsome youth who greatly resembled the prophet in appearance, part of the liver came out and the soul flew to paradise. Imam Hussein, peace upon him, brought the body to the encampment amidst the wailing of the children and womenfolk. Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas, the brother and standard bearer of the Imam's army, dashed toward the heavily guarded river to bring some water for the thirsty children. He scattered the cowardly enemies, and while he was returning on his horse with the water, he was attacked from behind date palms and, in defending himself, lost both his hands. An arrow pierced his eye, and another arrow pierced the goatskin water carrier. He was then struck a blow on his head, and as he fell from his horse, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, rushed towards him. It was, however, too late. The brave warrior breathed his last in the Imam's lap and requested him not to take his body to the encampment, since this would make the children lose all hopes of getting water, which had flowed to the ground on being hit by arrows. Then five more sons of Imam Ali, peace upon him, achieved martyrdom after heroic fight with the cowardly enemies. Earlier, The sons of Imam Hassan, peace upon him, the elder brother of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, including the 13-year-old Qasim, put up a brave but unequal fight before being martyred. The night before, when asked how he anticipated martyrdom, Qasim had said, "Sweeter than honey." The sons of the Imam sister, Hazrat Zainab, peace upon her, that is, Aun and Muhammad, fought gallantly until they were surrounded by the enemy and martyred. Other members of the Bani Hashim clan also drank the elixir of martyrdom. Before that, scores of the loyal companions of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, fought against heavy odds and were martyred. By the afternoon, 70 brave persons had sacrificed their lives in Karbala to save Islam. All had fought under nerve-wracking conditions. Severe thirst, dehydration, exhaustion, and agonizing feeling of what would happen to the family of the Prophet afterwards. Imam Hussein, peace upon him, endured all that and more, for he saw all his beloved ones brutally cut to pieces, including children. At this moment, the Imam heard his baby boy, the six-month infant Ali Asghar, cry incessantly because of the thirst. Imam Hussein, peace upon him, now decided to take the baby in his arms, go towards the battlefield, and tell them that if they are really Muslims, they should at least provide water to the infant. The Imam wanted to awaken their conscience and stir their human feelings, but the stone-hearted enemies, instead of giving water, ordered the cruel marksman, Harmale, to target the infant's throat with a heavy arrow. It was a shocking moment as little Ali Asghar joined the ranks of martyrs with blood gushing out from his slit throat. The aggrieved father filled his palm with the blood of the baby and threw it upwards toward the sky, complaining to the Almighty Creator. The Umayyad hordes, through his cowardly act, proved they worse than beast. Hussein was shocked. He felt an unbearable wave of pain. The sight of the limp baby in his arms was agonizingly painful. Imam Hussein, peace upon him, was alone, one man against thousands. He took them on, fighting them bravely, and kept fighting, receiving many wounds in the process. Thousands of enemy fighters were surrounding him, but none dared to move toward him. The silence was broken when Shemr screamed for an attack, and then screamed again, threatening, and in response they attacked collectively. And one sword fell upon the Imam's left wrist and deeply cut his left hand. The blood gushed like a fountain. Another sword was soon to follow and it hit his upper back. The Imam felt numb as he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely. He was near the point of shock. Even though staggering, he tried to stand by leaning on his sword. When he received the fatal blow, it was at this point that Shemr, whose mother was a disbeliever, came forward and severed the imam's noble head from the body. The noble head kissed often by Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Shemr and others had the audacity to carry it on a lane to Yazid in Damascus, almost 1,000 kilometers away. The tragedy did not end as Ibn Sa'd ordered the horsemen to trample upon the bodies of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and the other martyred members of the Bani Hashim clan. Imam Hussein, peace upon him, thus fulfilled the divine promise of the great sacrifice, or Zabhan Azim, as mentioned in Ayah 107 of Surah Safat of the Noble Quran, that had ransomed Prophet Ishmael in antiquity, though temporarily substituted by a ram, in order to spare the aged Prophet Abraham of such a ghastly sight. Umar ibn Sa'd and his Umayyad forces took the women and children as prisoners in shackles, put them on camels, and proceeded from Karbala to Kufa and from then to Damascus in Syria. At the forefront of the procession were the heads of the noble martyrs mounted on lances. Karbala is the cruelest tragedy humanity has ever seen, yet the startling, though appalling, events in Karbala proved like a powerful volcano that shook the very foundation of Muslims. It stirred them consciousness, ignorant or learned alike. For sincere Muslims, Karbala turned into a triumph. The tragic event became the very beacon of light to always remind Muslims to practice Islam honestly and sincerely, to do what is right, irrespective of consequences, and fear no one except Allah. The events of Karbala reflect the collision of the good versus the evil, the virtuous versus the wicked. Imam Hussein, as the third legitimate successor of his grandfather, the Prophet, thus safeguarded and protected Islam, thereby becoming the best of guide for Muslims. No wonder the Prophet had remarked, "Indeed, Hussein, peace upon him, is the beacon of light and the ark of salvation." The tragedy of Karbala thus taught humanity a lesson that standing for the truth and fighting unto death, for it is more honorable and valuable than submitting to the wrongful, especially when the survival of Islam is at stake.